Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we'll begin a conversation around the building blocks of a compelling vision. Andy, as we've said on the podcast, our organization is 21 years old this year, and it seems like it was about 20 years ago that I first heard you begin to talk to our team about the importance and this idea around vision. And those talks became a great book called Visioneering that's being re-released this year.
Yeah, and I'm super excited about that. And, you know, when we talked about, you know, hitting 20 years old and what have we learned from being 20 and what would we redo and what was most important, one of the things that we said was most important, one of the things that we did that actually worked that we would for sure do again if we had it to do all over again, was the importance of a compelling vision. So when we began the organization, as you said, 21 years ago, I felt like this was something that we needed to talk about, not just, hey, here's our vision, but what does it look like? Why is it important? And so week after week after week, I just kept this in front of our team, and it eventually became a book called, as you said, Visioneering. And fortunately, the book has continued to sell for 20 years. So the publisher came back and said, hey, in this book, your kids are 4 and 5 years old. They're, you know, one of them's graduated from college. Could we update this thing? So my extraordinary team, especially, I'm so grateful for Susie. We went back through, we updated some things, we added some things. And this may sound strange coming from the author, but this book is just as relevant today as it was 20 years ago. And one of the things that makes the book so compelling is that I lifted principles from this extraordinary Jewish leader, Nehemiah, who lived around, you know, the 5th century BC. And it's a story of somebody under extraordinary pressure with a deadline, with people all around him telling him, hey, this isn't going to work. And he went to the city of Jerusalem and he rebuilt the walls. And in his story, there are so many insights and so many principles as it relates to vision. So I extracted those principles, built this series around it, and then ultimately it became the book Visioneering. And as I picked it back up, as we were considering re-releasing it, I couldn't stop reading. I thought, I need to reread this book because, you know, it's a gold mine, not so much because of my insight, but just these ancient principles that are true every time you see a successful organization or a successful leader. So I'm thrilled about re-releasing the book, and I'm thrilled that we get to spend a couple of episodes talking about some of those key principles from the book.
Andy, in Visioneering, you highlight 20 building blocks for creating a compelling vision. We're going to talk about three this month and three next month. But before we get to those, why does this continue to be so compelling for you as a leader?
Well, it's compelling for me as a leader, but it's even broader than that, because even in the book, I talk about the fact that everybody, whether you're a leader or not, whether you're in organizational leadership or not, everybody has some sort of mental picture of what they want their life to be. I mean, children have a mental picture of what they want their life to be. Anybody who has said, I want to grow up and be a fill in the blank, that is vision. And I guess one of my passions for this, both as a leader and as a pastor, is that everybody ends up somewhere in life. Everybody ends up somewhere in life. And everybody only gets one shot at being a teenager. Everybody only gets one shot at their first semester of college. Everybody only gets one shot at a first marriage. And so everybody has a mental picture of where they want to be, what could be and should be. And vision, having the right fine-tuned, focused vision, gives people energy, motivation. It defines options. It creates self-control. There is so much to this topic that goes beyond just leadership, because everybody ends up somewhere in life. Very few people end up somewhere on purpose, and I want people to end up somewhere on purpose. And I think vision is one of the key elements to making that a reality, really for everybody, not just leaders. And here's the thing, Lane, a clear vision along with the courage to follow through, because it's not just a dream, it's not just a wish. I mean, there has to be activity, and that's what we're going to talk about. But a clear vision combined with the courage to follow through dramatically, and I mean dramatically, increases anyone's chances of coming to the end of their life looking back with a deep, abiding satisfaction and thinking, I did it. I succeeded. I finished well. My life counted. And again, this is true of every single person listening. This is true for our husbands, our wives, our children, our grandchildren. And so I think that, you know, the topic of vision is bigger than organizational life, although that's certainly a subset. But it's really about asking the question, what do I want to do? Who do I want to be? And what do I need to do in order to become the person I want to be and to accomplish the things that are in my heart to accomplish? So I think this is why the topic of vision doesn't continue simply to fuel me as a leader, but as a pastor as well, because everybody has a mental picture of what could be and what they think should be for their lives.
Andy, in visioneering, you spell out four things that vision weaves into the fabric of our daily experience. And you just touched on some of these, but I want to go back over them. The first one is passion.
Yeah, passion or an emotional response. There is no such thing as an emotionless vision. And we'll talk about this a little bit later. We've talked about it before. It's that question of what lights me up, what gets me excited, what makes me willing not to do some things so I can do other things. A clear, focused vision actually allows us to experience ahead of time the emotions associated with our anticipated future. We've all experienced that. We get excited about something that hasn't happened yet. Mm. That's when a person knows, hey, I'm on track. This is something that I need to pay attention to. Vision is always accompanied, I think, by strong emotion. And the clearer the vision, the more defined the vision, the stronger the emotion. This is why, you know, we've all heard people get up and speak who are not naturally gifted speakers.
Yeah.
But their passion for their topic, the emotion around the topic was so compelling. Again, we wouldn't ask them to speak on anything else, but when they got in their groove, when they got in their sweet spot, when they begin to talk about that thing that's so important to them, it's compelling. And when men and women focus on either professionally or just personally on the thing that they want the future to look like, there is an emotion. There's always emotion associated with vision.
The second thing you said, and I think it's connected to that emotion, is that vision provides motivation.
Absolutely, because when you have a clear vision about any area of your life, academic, professional, relational, whatever it might be, the mundane things begin to matter. Things that were not motivating once upon a time suddenly become motivating.
Right.
I know for me, my first year and a half in college, everything was mundane.
Right.
And then I decided I wanted to go to graduate school. Well, suddenly all those mundane classes were a means to a greater end, and I became a much better student. And we've all experienced this at some level, but this is the power of a clear picture of what could be and should be. Suddenly everything matters, everything looks different, and the mundane become more important because there's a sense of motivation. Something needs to happen if I'm going to get to where I ultimately want to be.
Well, Andy, I think that connects seamlessly to the next aspect that vision provides, and that's direction.
Lane, my observation about people who don't have personal vision is that they are easily distracted and they have a tendency to drift from one activity, one pleasure, one relationship to the next. But a person with a clear picture of what could be and should be for them personally or professionally or, again, academically, whatever it might be, not only are they motivated, there is a sense of direction. What was once an option is no longer an option. If it helps me get there, it's a yes. If it distracts from where I want to be, it's a no. As pastors, we run into this all the time. People who are sequential bad decision makers, whether it's financial, relational, professional, these are men and women who generally have not sat down and answered the question, what do I want my future to look like? Because once there's focus and once there's definition, suddenly what we see as bad decisions, they begin not only to see as bad decisions, they begin to see as a distraction to where they ultimately want to be. So a clear, compelling vision in any area of life limits the options and it gives us direction.
And Andy, all of these seem to combine in the final element that vision provides, which is purpose.
Absolutely. Like I said, a vision gives you a reason to get up in the morning. If you don't show up, something important won't be accomplished. Something will go undone. Suddenly you matter, and in some cases you matter a lot. You're a critical element of something that needs to be done to make the world a better place. And a vision makes you an important link between current reality and future possibility. And that dynamic is the thing that gives us purpose. And it gives us the momentum we need to move through the barriers that otherwise would slow us down, trip us up, or distract us altogether.
Landy, as I said earlier, visioneering contains 20 amazing building blocks for a compelling vision. I wish we had time to cover all of them, but unfortunately we don't. We're going to look at three this month and three more next month. The first one for this month is a vision will begin as a concern.
Yeah. Whether it's family or, again, professional life, we look at something that needs to change, a problem that needs to be solved, an issue that needs to be addressed, and we feel concern. Or the word we use around here a lot of times is we feel a burden. You hear something, you see something that gets your attention. A thought related to the future generates an emotion. Something bothers you about the way things are or the way things oftentimes are headed. In fact, for any of you in our podcast audience who's trying to get clarity around the vision for your life, either personally or professionally, one of the most helpful questions is a question we've talked about before, and that's this question. What breaks your heart? Mm-hmm. What breaks your heart? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., his heart was broken over the way his people were being treated in the South. So we came south. Bob Pierce, who founded World Vision, the plight of under-resourced children, broke his heart. And again, it doesn't have to be nonprofit world. This is just paying attention to things that get our attention, and then paying attention to the things that break our heart, and paying attention to those growing concerns or burden within each of us. Because anytime you hear the story of someone who was vision-driven, somewhere back there somewhere, there was a concern, there was a problem, there was a burden, there was something they felt like needed to change, and it just got hold of them, and they just couldn't let it go.
Andy, in the book, you make the point that identifying a vision is a process, and often a slow one. You said the vision matures in us.
Yeah, and this is huge, because all of us have been to fundraisers where people have, you know, trotted out children, shown us pictures, they break our heart, we write big checks, and then, you know, we never give to those organizations again. You know, a compelling speaker, motivational speaker, music in the background, it's easy to stir our emotions and motivate us to give, or motivate us to feel concerned in the moment. And since that's the case, the idea of allowing a vision to mature in us is super important. Not all burdens and not all concerns are vision material, but every vision begins as a burden. So time allows us to distinguish between good ideas and visions worth throwing the weight of our lives behind. And waiting gives us a chance to examine our emotions and sort out kind of, you know, the minor concerns from the major ones. So when somebody comes to me and says, Andy, I've got this idea and I want to address this big issue or, you know, change the world, I always ask them, hey, where did this start? How long ago did this start? And if it started a week and a half ago because they saw a film, I'm like, you know what? Right. I'm not saying you shouldn't throw your whole life behind this, but you need some time, because time is your friend. Because 2 weeks from now or 2 months from now, if this is still a nagging concern, you find yourself thinking about it in your spare time, then you probably need to pay attention to that. But don't rush ahead and don't jump ahead, because again, oftentimes this is something that's going to be not simply time-consuming, life-consuming. So you want to get it right. And the other reason we need to be sure this is the thing that we want to give our life to or give our time and energy to is the world is very hard on vision, because vision is always about change. If this was going to be easy, it would have already been done. Everybody knows that. So because life is hard on vision, it's so important that when a person embraces an idea, leans their life into it, it needs to be the thing they are willing to commit themselves to through the barriers and the obstacles that are inevitable with every single vision. So time is your friend. There is no rush.
And you go on to say that not only does the vision mature in us, but we also mature in preparation for the vision.
Absolutely. Giving ourselves time to mature in preparation for the vision is absolutely critical, because the truth is oftentimes we have a burden or we have a concern, but we aren't ready. I mean, the world is ready. You know, somebody needs to do something about this, but oftentimes we aren't ready. And this is really important for young leaders. When I say young leaders, I'm talking about 25 to 35 who still haven't quite figured out exactly what they're going to give their lives to. And there are so many options. So before you rush ahead, before you embrace something, oftentimes there is a waiting time. And during that waiting time, oftentimes we are the ones that are maturing toward the vision so that we're actually ready to do something about it when it's time to move.
Andy, the next building block from visioneering connects to this idea of a maturing vision. You wrote, walk before you talk, investigate before you initiate.
Yep. And this is, again, the tendency oftentimes when we're very, very emotional or we're very passionate about an idea, we start talking about it. We initiate before we investigate. When you begin to form a vision, don't tell anybody. I tell people this all the time. Don't tell anybody. Just sit on it. Sit on it until you think you're going to explode. If you, and during that time, something's going to happen on the inside of you. And while you're sitting on it, while you're refusing to announce to everyone that you're going to go start a company, change the world, you know, whatever it might be. During that time, as I said in that point, investigate. Investigate before you initiate. The illustration that comes to mind is not too many years ago. Sandra and I heard a very compelling story by a gentleman who had been in foster care. And we left that conversation very emotional and very concerned about foster children and all the things that are related to foster care. And we were, you know, just kind of ready to sign up. And fortunately, we're in a season of life where we knew better than to just initiate before we investigate it. So we spent months and months and months in our frame of reference praying about this, investigating, getting the facts. We didn't talk about this to anyone except a few family members who honestly looked at us like, really, you're about to be empty nesters and now you're going to bring other people's children into your home. And there was this long period of letting this incubate. So when we finally pulled the trigger, number one, we knew what we were getting into. We went much slower than we would have moved if we had pulled the trigger, you know, when we came out of some of those early meetings where we were, again, so emotional about it.
Right.
So there's something about waiting. And waiting time, I talk about this in the book, waiting time is not wasted time, especially if you're giving them the vision time to mature in you and you're doing your homework and you're doing some investigation. Then when the time comes for you to begin talking about this, you'll be able to answer the questions, you'll have far more internal motivation, and you'll be more at peace in terms of what the next steps are, and you'll be far less likely to be talked out of this thing that you're convinced needs to happen. And again, around this idea of investigate before you initiate, investigation will accomplish at least one of three things. Number one, investigation will either confirm the validity of this thing that you think needs to be done. It'll certainly give you further definition, greater definition, and it'll give you greater focus, or it'll tip you off that you were mistaken. This really isn't something that you need to get involved with.
Andy, the final building block for this episode is don't expect others to take greater risk or make greater sacrifices than you have.
Interestingly enough, one of the first times that I experienced this particular building block as a leader was while I was writing this book. You were there for this, Lane. We had just purchased our first piece of property. We wanted to build our first building. I challenged our organization to give $1 million in cash before we would start the big yellow machinery.
Right.
And we were going to try to do that in 3 or 4 months, and everybody had already given. I mean, they'd already given to purchase the property. It just seemed crazy. Sandra and I had no cash flow margin at all, and yet I knew I couldn't stand up and ask our organization to give all this money if I wasn't willing to do something. So on Valentine's Day, I say to Sandra, hey, I've got a great idea. What if our contribution is my salary during these 4 months that I'm that we're raising this money? And she looked at me like, do you know something about our financial situation that I don't know? And she knew that I didn't. And this is just what we felt compelled to do. And in this particular case, and this isn't always the case, I felt compelled to share that with our entire organization to say, hey, this is how serious we are, and this is how serious I am, and we don't have cash to give, but my salary, I'm not going to take it for these next 4 months. So again, there's a time and a place for leaders to demonstrate the fact that I'm not simply asking you to do something. I am in this with you. And again, I got this principle directly from this extraordinary story of this extraordinary Jewish leader, Nehemiah.
Well, Andy, as I said, I wished we could cover all 20 of the building blocks in visioneering. Unfortunately, we don't have time. But as we wrap up today, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I would just say this. A vision is a mental picture of what could be and should be. Could be is a wish and a dream. Should be, I want to throw my life behind it. And once the vision is clear, you don't need so much discernment as you really need courage. Courage to commit, courage to invest what you deem most valuable in a dream that may net very little, or in some cases, no returns, because not every vision works out. So it does take an extraordinary amount of courage. We're going to talk a little bit about that next month. But I want to leave our podcast listeners with this idea. Hey, what breaks your heart? What are you burdened about? What are you concerned about? What can you do about it? How can you investigate it before you start doing something about it? And what are you willing to stop doing in order to get the thing done that you are most passionate about getting done? And again, this may be something with one of your kids, this may be something in your marriage, or this may be something that relates to your profession. So just give that some thought, and then we will pick up the conversation right here month.
Andy, thanks so much for today. And to all of our listeners, we want to thank you for joining us. And we want to encourage you to go to andystanley.com/visioneering, where you can download a free chapter of Andy's amazing book, Visioneering, and begin your journey to your personal vision.